Hello, my name is Chuck, and my favorite thing is Christmas.
Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello, and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones, and this is the podcast where we learn about favorite things and get recommendations without using an algorithm. We are recording this tonight on the fifth night of Hanukkah and just a couple weeks out from Christmas, which will become important soon. But I am so excited because my guest today is the legend, Chuck Zagorski. Chuck, I know through one of my beloved colleagues at my day job, and we never actually get to talk to each other. And so having him on my podcast was a sneaky way of getting to catch up. Chuck, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Great to be here.
I'm so excited. Before we get into the favorite thing that we're going to talk about tonight, one of the things that I've learned about you through your partner, Nick, is, and this is, I think, a whole nother episode we'll do someday, is your Funko Pop collection.
Oh, yes. My one of my many collections.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about that collection?
I have about 200 plus Funko Pops, and it is a rabbit hole to fall into if you're collecting them. And one of the things that I do is things that, like, I'm really drawn to. I mean, people that are like going to collect Harry Potter, I mean, that's a rabbit hole, or Star Wars, that's a rabbit hole. But there's just really certain ones that you need. You don't necessarily need all of them, but I mean, just really great. It's a really great collection. It could get pretty expensive.
Yeah.
but all in all, it is one of my favorites.
Yeah. So Funko Pops, we will link to a resource, a page about them, but they're not bobbleheads, but they are sort of the, not dimensions, but like, if they were living in the world, they're sort of like bobbleheads in that it's a big head, small body collectible.
Yes.
And I have some from like Big Mouth, and I get them occasionally. So do you, within the structure of Funko Pop, you then have like fandoms that you collect within it, or topics?
So Christmas, I have a huge series of Christmas action figures.
Okay.
So whether it be like Batman action figures that are Christmas, or I have the 1950s classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, series 1, 2, 3, 4, all of them. That same maker did the Frosty the Snowman, that everyone grew up to know, A Year Without a Santa Claus, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. So I had a collection already started like that, that it was easy for me when they came out with Funko Pops to really start collecting like the Christmas ones.
Okay.
And really had to like, you know, there are some cute Christmas ones.
Yeah.
And then other things were like, you know, you have things that inspired me through my childhood. Like I have the Kool-Aid guy. I have Woodsy Owl. Mm-hmm. I have the Tootsie Pop Owl, the 1, 2, 3 crunch, you know, and like Smokey the Bear.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just certain, I collect Aquaman ones. Like I have a series of other Aquaman collectibles, but all the Aquaman ones, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of like, I'm streamlined. So if somebody bought me a Funko Pop and was like, here's your Funko Pop, I'd be like, I don't know if that was the one I wanted.
Right. Because you're working on like sub collections within the genre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Are you excited for this new Aquaman movie?
I am. Yes. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, DC will ruin it somehow. You know, I hope people don't get mad about that. But you know what? I love it. I love the first one. I'm interested to see the new one coming out. I mean, it's been kind of long anticipated. Everyone's about Marvel movies, Marvel this, Marvel that.
Yeah.
I'm a big DC, so I love Batman and your Wonder Womans and your Aquamans.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited.
Did you grow up on the comics?
Yeah, I think I gravitated towards Aquaman because he was the blonde comic. So I have blonde hair. That was the one I kind of like was me. So when you look at the Momoa Aquaman.
Yeah.
That is like your dark-haired, doesn't look like the comic book necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some of him, so I had to have him, you know, if I collect Aquaman. But most of them are going to be your blonde haired ones. He's changed over the years. So he's had the long hair with, you know, the mullet with right. the hook hand and the that guy that's on the books, Fabio.
Yes.
Yes. So it's like, right. he looked like that, you know. So I have all the, and those are all the blonde ones. So, but I do okay. have the Momoa. They have come out with the Momoa in the orange top with the green pants, you know, like, so it's a classic, but still the Jason Momoa one, you know.
Yeah. So. I don't think I saw the first Jason Momoa Aquaman, but after seeing him in Fast 10, I don't know if you saw Fast and the Furious 10.
I did not.
He plays so off type, kind of a gender fluid, flowy pants. Like, it's a really not what you think of when you think of Jason Momoa, and very funny. I'm now getting more excited for the Aquaman movie.
So he's very like that in the movie. And if I'm not mistaken, I want to say that Aquaman was the biggest budgeted DC up till now. So it's weird because it's like there have been so many Batmans. I mean, how many times do we have to see Bruce Wayne's parents die?
Right.
You know, in Batman.
So but, many.
So many times. So many. Many ways. You know, but this was the, I think this was the most, it created the most dollar for DC, that yeah. movie. And now there's a part two.
It has to. All the water filming has to be so expensive.
You know, and I'm not mad at Mira is the actress that went to court with Johnny Depp.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Amber Heard.
Yes.
And, you know, I would have been mad if she didn't come back for this because I feel like she needed to be in this movie because I hate when they recast people.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, we're going to recast her. And I'm like, no, please leave her the same.
Yeah.
And they did. And so she's in it.
Good.
And you know, there's a lot of big names in that movie. You haven't seen it, but there's a lot of big names.
Right.
The one from Moulin Rouge, the main character, help me.
Nicole Kidman?
Yes.
Okay.
She, oh my God. How could we forget her? but she is actually the mother of Aquaman in the movie. So she's from, you know, she's the queen of Atlantis. And
okay.
So yeah. So there's big names in it. You know, there's some nice. Other like big name characters in there and. The guy from the Conjuring films is in there, but it's actually, people will say it's junk, but it's really good. You got to see it.
Nice. I will. I end up seeing a lot of superhero and action movies because you want to, you know, the big screen theater experience. I love it. I love going to the movies.
And to do the underwater scenes is so fake to begin with that
right.
you have to like gussy it up with. You know,
yeah.
CGI and...
Yeah. I just saw The Abyss has been remastered. The Abyss from 1989, James Cameron's first underwater alien film.
Unbelievable.
So the 4K Blu-ray is coming out in March or something, I guess. But they did a one-night release in the theaters last week. And it was super intense because that was before CGI. So it's a lot of the underwater stuff is like practical effects, and it was very stressful to watch.
So funny story about that. I grew up in south side of Chicago, Oaklawn, and had a parents had a in-ground pool.
Mm-hmm.
Big in-ground pool, you know, the 3 feet at the shallow end and then, you know, 8-9 feet at the deep end. And you know, you put those pool covers on the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And now this, you're going back to the 80s with The Abyss.
Yeah.
So we used to like, if it was going to rain in the summer, you'd put the pool cover on. And then me and my sister would, before we would like take the pool cover off, and we were little back then,
mm-hmm.
we would swim under the pool cover like it was like it was the movie Abyss.
Yeah.
We would play Abyss.
And were you like, pretend that you're dying and I'll drag you to safety?
Yeah, all that.
Yeah.
All of you.
Amazing.
Above. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, it's, the remaster is... It was worth the 35-year wait or whatever. 89, not 35 years ago. Maybe. That's horrifying.
It's like 89 years ago. No, I'm joking.
Yeah. Chuck, I didn't just bring you here to quiz you about DC and Funko Pop.
Okay.
But to talk to you about one of your other favorite things. And what is that favorite thing we're going to talk about tonight?
I mean, we're in the season right now. And I absolutely love, adore, live Christmas.
Yes. I'm so excited. I was last week asking some producers I'm friends with. I was like, hey, do you have anybody that like really loves Christmas that could come on my podcast to talk about loving Christmas? And then the next day, Nick showed me your pictures from the Mariah Carey concert, and you were wearing a sweatshirt that said, "The King of Christmas."
Most definitely, yes.
Yeah.
I am coined the King of Christmas.
I love it. So what's your origin story with loving Christmas?
You know, it's just, I love spreading like that holiday feeling to everybody, in part because my own childhood was so filled with Christmas and spirit that it made me want to create these holiday moments for others to see and enjoy and even anticipate.
Yeah.
And I mean, sometimes it may come off a little annoying, but I mean, it is pretty great. And I anticipate it all year.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, my parents decorated the house, put, you know, all the lights up like a lot of people do. It was just the way that it was done. I mean, we, even in the 80s back then, we had multiple trees in the house, and in the 90s, even more multiple trees. And then, mm-hmm. you know, we talked about Funko and all that. And I have many collections. My most favorite thing about Christmas and always has been was the Christmas trees. I couldn't wait to get those Christmas trees up.
Yeah.
And I guess it's because it's like, if you think about a Christmas tree is like a gigantic tree curio cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like all your, you know, people have things on there from like their children make, or things that you got from someone, or things that you bought because you wanted it there, or you have a tree that's a theme and you keep on buying for that. It just becomes like a big collection. So,
yeah. I'm curious, in your family growing up, were you like a Thanksgiving weekend tree family? Were you like, did you have a tradition around when the tree went up?
Yeah, it was Thanksgiving weekend.
Mm-hmm.
My family always hosted Thanksgiving. I say back then had a bigger family that would come to the house, but we would have it. We had the bigger house. My mom would do all the cooking. And shortly thereafter, usually that weekend was the weekend to put up the tree. We never, my mom and my dad were never ones that went out on Black Friday,
yeah.
you know, and like did all that. But that weekend was always the tree starts going up.
And were you live tree or artificial trees?
So we did one year growing up, I do remember we did a real tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have to say, and I don't remember this fully, but there's pictures to prove it. All the pine had fallen off Christmas Day.
Oh, no.
And the tree looked like a burn victim.
Uh-huh.
And ornaments were falling off and breaking. And my mom's like, never again.
Yeah.
Will I ever do that? We'll buy the most realistic tree.
Yes.
Yeah.
We did, growing up, we did real trees until like, I don't know, 9th or 10th grade, when my dad made the declaration that since my sister and I were into the environment, we would do an artificial tree instead of cutting one down.
It's good.
Yeah. I think it probably had more to do with like the effort of maintaining a real tree.
Agree.
And the mess and like getting the needles out of the carpet at the end of the season and keeping the cats out of the water at the base and convincing the kids to climb under the tree to keep watering it so it didn't burn down, right? I think there were other practical considerations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that's the one thing that probably would scare me the most would be like, are the lights too hot? Is it going to catch fire, you know?
Right. Also in the 80s, the lights were too hot.
Probably.
They were so hot. They were so big.
And in the 70s and the 60s and the, you yeah. know, and back, you know?
Yeah.
So I currently we have 6 trees up in the house. I'm not counting short ones.
Okay.
I'm counting like 6 and up.
6 foot and over. Okay.
Tallest being 12.
Amazing.
We have a 9 foot. We have a 7.5. We have a few sixes.
So does this one behind you not count?
That one counts. That's 6.
It counts. Okay. Yes,
that counts. That one's a cute one. So that is a 6.5 foot. And that is a tinsel tree.
Neat.
And all of the ornaments on this tree are houses.
Oh.
And my partner in crime, his last name is Aziz. Mine is Aziz. We call our house Z House. So I'm currently coming from his office right now. So all the houses on there are Z houses.
Cute.
And what's really great about those is some of those sandpaper houses are from the 50s.
Neat.
And those are all my dad's.
Nice.
So they're like old. They're like originals.
My sister inherited our family Christmas ornaments because I converted to Judaism. So that made it easy. Who gets the ornaments? The one who still does Christmas.
Love it.
But she still puts on her tree. I grew up thinking it was an octopus, but it was a beaded angel from like the Victorian era of our great grandma's tree. And it was just this little, you know, black beaded on wire. And I thought, I was like, where's the octopus? Oh, it's an, now I know it's an angel. But I love those few surviving older ornaments. It's very cool.
It is, yeah. On our 12-foot tree, that's like the, I call that one the Marshall Fields Macy's, you know, tree. That has all the glass ornaments. That does have a glass octopus on it.
Ooh.
I'll have to send you a picture.
Yes.
That's great because no one, I don't think a lot of people have an octopus ornament.
Right.
And this octopus has like a certain box it goes in. Because I'm afraid that one of its tentacles are going to come off and it's hand blown and it's cute. It's like, you got to see it. But when you're talking about needles with the real tree, our 7.5 foot in the family room is one of those, not a pre-lit tree. It's where you have to put all of the arms in the...
Oh, wow. In,
and it's like, you know, B, these are where all the B ones go. C, these are all the C ones go, you know. And that one loses pine probably more than a real pine tree.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that when slated to leave the house at any, is it on the, how much longer is that one tree going to stay in rotation?
As long as I can keep it.
Okay.
As long as I can keep it.
Nice.
So
your hero tree is your Macy's, your Marshall Fields glass ornaments, 12 footer.
Yes.
And then there's the Z house tree in the office.
Yes.
What are some of the other trees as far as like themes or I assume they're all themed.
So yes.
Or ish.
Yeah. Yes. Ish. So our 9 foot tree is my 9 foot tree is all Three Kings inspired.
All right.
So it's got a lot of crowns and Three Kings and and things that may go along with kind of like a West Indies, desert, Middle East kind of feel. Mm-hmm. That one's really beautiful. That one, white lights, flocked.
Mm-hmm.
That one's really gorgeous. And then the 7.5, which, you know, you put all the arms in and the more pine falls off of it than a real, you know, spruce. That one is all like Hallmark. I call it the noisy ornaments.
Okay.
It has Fred Flintstone. It has the Jetsons. It has Snoopy. It has, you know, like just kind of like childhoodish, you know.
Yeah.
Take you back.
Nice. And do all of your Christmas ornaments come out every year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not one to change. Like again, it's a curio cabinet. So you got to bring your curio cabinet stuff out. A lot of people will decorate the tree and I'm not against it, but I like some say I did a red tree last year. I want to do a blue and silver tree this year, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to do the same tree. Mm-hmm. I want to put my ornaments up so I can see them. I have this many months to look at them. Then they go back into hiding.
Right.
You know, and then do it all again, you know? So.
Yeah. And then what's your takedown day or range?
So I said as a child, the weekend after Thanksgiving is when my parents would start putting all the Christmas stuff up. Because I've been graced in being in retail, November 1st is like my, like, I got to get this stuff up.
Right.
And it's good because now people are still putting up their tree, going to buy their tree, still decorating. My house is fully decorated and I just threw myself into neutral and I'm sailing through the holidays and enjoying all of it, you know?
Yeah. And will you keep it up to like, how far into January or February does it stay up?
So the book says,
yes,
Three Kings Day,
which is like January 6th ish.
Yeah, I think 6th, 7th, or 8th. I got to look.
Yeah.
I'm not the king of Christmas because I don't know that, but
it's not a theology podcast.
Okay,
it's okay.
Good. All right, good.
That's the day the three kings get to the manger, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, and then that's funny that you said that because when we went to the Mariah Carey concert, somebody goes, oh my God, you're the king of Christmas. Where's my present? And I'm like, ma'am, I'm not Santa Claus. I'm just the king of Christmas. She laughed. So I'm not, you know, the allergist of Christmas. But the funny part is love Christmas. Talk about it all year round.
Yep.
And I cannot wait to take it down. I can't wait for my house to get back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It just feels clean again and like everything is like organized and, you know, just get to vacuum all the rugs again. And but while it's up, it's just, it is a beautiful sight to see.
Yeah. So I'm like, is it one or two podcasts that I listen to? It's Add to Cart, but also Deep Dive. So Add to Cart is Kulop Vlysak and Suchin Pak. And then Deep Dive is June Diane Raphael and Jessica St. Clair. Mm-hmm. And then there's also Casey Rose Wilson from Bitch Sesh. She was on Happy Endings.
Okay.
And the five of them talk about, they've got a group text called Tree Time, where they talk about their Christmas decorating and that they talk about scheduling, putting time on their family calendars called Tree Time. And it is about making sure that they are not out in the world every night of the Christmas season, but that there are nights when they are home to enjoy their trees.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And to make sure that they get all of the tree time they deserve.
And with that, because again, it's up for a certain amount of time. These are things you cherish. I mean, there's ornaments that when I bring out, I'm like, I cannot wait to see this one.
Mm-hmm.
And you gush at them every time you open them, you know, like you're opening them up for the first time, you know, and then hang them up. Some even broke. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm not throwing this out. I'm hanging it up inconspicuously on the tree. You know,
right.
But there's one. So growing up, I love flamingos. That's another like love flamingos. And growing up had a 7.5 pink flamingo tree.
Wow.
Pink flamingo ornaments.
Mm-hmm.
Pink balls on it. Pink garland. You know, I mean, it was a pink flamingo tree. That's all I can say.
That's so
and
fun.
I don't put that up anymore, but I do have all the glass pink flamingos on the tree.
Right.
And I got one from Carson's when they used to be open. Mm-hmm. And it was the designer of it was there at Carson's signing the ornaments. And I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome. It's a flamingo and it's going to sign. So she signed it, dated it for Chuck, you know, loved it, had it for years. This is like the 90s.
Yeah.
Had it for years. I took it out of the box this year. And I'm showing Nick, I'm like, look at this. And he's like, I don't think I've ever really looked at it that it said, you know, for Chuck. And it's like, awesome. Hang it up on the tree. You know, we walk away. It committed suicide, jumped for its life off the tree.
Oh, no.
And like the back of it shattered. I'm like, I'm not throwing it out. I'm hanging it up.
No, no. Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't bring myself to throw it away.
No, no. What does it take for a new ornament to earn its way onto one of the trees? Like, are ornaments good gifts for you or risky gifts?
I would say, depending on the person buying, it could be risky. I don't judge. I'm not judging. But, you know, it's like, it's like I want them to be glass. You know, I've seen all the Hobby Lobby ornaments. I've seen all the, I could tell you where to get the best ornaments. I could, even if it's like the little antique store in Aurora or Winfield or, you know, LaGrange, and I could tell you where to get the good ornaments and what, who has the good ornaments and what nurseries have the good, you know, so it's got to be right.
Okay. So it needs to be a glass ornament.
And not necessarily.
Okay.
You know, because even on my 7.5 foot tree, it's the Hallmark ornaments. I just don't want a random Hallmark ornament. You know, it's got to be like,
got to have meaning between you and the giver.
Exactly.
Cool.
We have a lot of Santa Clauses on the 12-foot tree.
Okay.
Lots of Santa Clauses. Lots of glass Santa Clauses. And some are not glass. You know, some are, you know, from the 50s. Some are my grandma's.
Mm-hmm.
Both grandmothers on both sides. It's like some ornaments on the tree are 80 years old.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I would be lying if I said the 12-foot tree has what feels like 8,000 ornaments on this tree.
Wow.
Because I pack a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. 5 hours to put up the ornaments. Because you have to prep it. So I'm not counting putting the tree up, fluffing it, getting all the big ladders out to get up there because it's a big tree. And then I'm just mere decorating it 5 hours.
All right. When you go to decorate the tree, do you decorate in wedges? Like, is it like I'm doing top to bottom, the front of the tree. Now I'm doing top to bottom, the side. do you go around it? Like, do you do like horizontal, or is it like you take out an ornament and you're moved to put it here and it's just sort of random action all over the tree until you're done?
Random action all over the tree till it's done.
Okay.
So doing a 12-foot tree is a 6-foot ladder, a 4-foot ladder, a step stool. So you're not necessarily moving ladder. So it's a lot of ladders.
Yeah.
And then the next day, it's a lot of ibuprofen.
I bet.
There will be one day that I probably won't put this up.
Yeah.
But it's a labor of love. That's what we call it.
Yeah.
And then we always joke. So there's always an ornament that we like make fun of or like do that. And then we always go like, oh, where do you want me to hang it? And our joke is bottom window. So it would be like the window bottom.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's kind of the joke. Bottom window.
Amazing.
So where do we hang? Amazing. So where did Nick say to hang that broken flamingo? He's like,
bottom window.
Put it in the bottom window. That's like right before an ornament makes its way to the ornament purgatory.
Amazing. So Nick did say there's lots of traditions. Do you have Christmas food traditions?
I mean, my family makes like kolachkis.
Mm-hmm.
So those are like the thing. If we're talking like a dessert, we do a really big Christmas dinner. Always something like my mom would say, "What are we having for? What are we having for Christmas dinner?" She goes, "We're gonna have meat, potato, like meat." It's like if my mother would be like the mother on My Big Fat Greek Wedding, her mm-hmm. mother. That's my mother.
Yeah,
like we're gonna have meat, you know. And I'm like, well, there's you know how much meat there is.
Yeah.
So we always have a meat and different things like that. But one of the traditional kolachkis was one of them I said. The other thing is that in a Polish tradition, and this is my grandmother's recipe, it's a mushroom soup. So it's really big for like Polish descent to eat a mushroom soup on Christmas Eve. Well, we eat it on Christmas Day, but it's mushroom soup. So we'll have a mushroom soup and it's a delicacy. So it's like, it's hot. Of course, the soup. Some soups are cold, but it's hot. And these mushrooms are like, if you go to a store, usually like, you know, in Chicago, you're buying a little string of not even a ruler size of mushrooms. And that's like $90.
Holy
moly. And those are just for taste. So like through like the years, my grandma would put in like those, but also put in like, you know, some different mushrooms from like Jewel or like grocery store.
Right. To like bulk it up.
Yeah. Just to make it a little bit more. Yeah. But it's delicious. It's brothy. So it's not like a mm-hmm. cream of.
Yeah.
Very brothy. It, you know, you wait all year for it. You don't eat it any other time of year. Just Christmas. Okay. And make a big pot of it.
Yeah.
I don't make it. My mother still.
Yeah.
But it is. It's almost like, I want to say there's like a sauerkraut juice in it.
Mm-hmm.
Those real expensive mushrooms. Sometimes potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like not as brothy as like a miso soup, but like it has a little bit starchiness in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Delicious. I love it. You're eating all the Smurf houses in there.
Amazing. So what are other things you love about Christmas?
Just collections. I mean, I have over 100 something nutcrackers. So our family room becomes the nutcracker room.
Yeah.
And right now there's 102 nutcrackers in the room. And it doesn't look like hoarding.
It's a collection.
It's done really like nice. And I'll have like friends and family that will, you know, like come over and want to see and like tour our house, you know, and it is definitely a sight. I think there's like above on our TV console is about, there has to be about 52 up there. And there's probably 30 something on the fireplace mantle. So definitely nutcrackers.
What's the age range? What size, like what's the smallest nutcracker and what's the tallest?
Smallest nutcracker has to be, and this is not really a nutcracker, but it's in the collection and I do count him. It's the Lego nutcracker. So imagine a Lego person. So
a little minifig.
He would be my little, like the little nutcracker. So that would be the smallest. But he doesn't have the nutcracker back.
Okay.
But I count him because he's cute and he's a nutcracker. And then the largest would be probably about 42. 42 inches.
Okay.
And I have four of those.
Four that are 42 inches.
Yes.
So they guard the room.
Yeah, two. Yeah. So the 102 in that room are those two counted. I did put one in the living room with the 12-foot tree. And then I do have a tree viewing area in my upstairs where there's a 42-inch, like, gentleman nutcracker, we call them, that is in the viewing area. So
okay.
You need a tour. You got to get your ticket. Yeah. Go fast.
Yeah, I've got it. I have a car.
Yeah.
I know how GPS works.
You have a driveway. You don't have to pay for parking.
Great. And when did the nutcracker collection start?
I had to be like 6-7 years old and
yeah.
just get 3 or 4 a year.
Okay.
And then that just kind of like, imagine getting like 3 or 4 every year since age of 7. You have 100 yeah. nutcrackers.
Yeah.
Or more.
Do they have professions or do they lean tin soldier nutcrackers or do some of them have like, do you have an Aquaman nutcracker?
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I would never put him away. I don't have that. They need that. They need to make that.
Right?
Oh, goodness. They need to make that. They do. Some have professions. I do like the soldiers.
Yeah.
There's generals and soldiers, and there are professions. I think I have the Fringle Mint Cook.
Adorable.
Yeah, love. I have the exclusive Bob Vila Sears nutcracker.
Stop it.
I have a soldier from Hershey, Pennsylvania that is the Hershey soldier, and he's holding a Hershey Kiss.
Amazing.
I have fox hunters, Vikings, pirates, fishermen, golfers. I have the dog from Old Navy.
Wow.
Magic, I think his name was. Yeah, there's a lot of professions. I have Santas, an mm-hmm. elf. I have an yeah. angel. I have kings. I have Louis the 14th, whatever Louis yeah. number he is. I have King Henry. I have little ones that are like the Queen of Hearts, you know, the One of Spades, the, you know, like those, the jester, mm-hmm. like almost like a deck of cards. Those are little.
Yeah.
I have a beekeeper. I have Merlin. I can go on.
Wow. Okay. So not exclusive to the Christmas tin soldier genre.
Right.
Or like Nutcracker, the ballet. Not exclusive to the
yeah,
ballet.
Yeah, no, not to the ballet. No. And yeah. we do decorate them so like a lot of the soldiers are on the fireplace because they seem to me mm-hmm. like the more traditional. The ones on the TV cabinet, that slew of them is like civilians. So those are like the jobs. Remember, I'm a collector.
Yeah.
I do have a cabinet that I have like whatever collection I have at the time. Above that are my Mickey Mouse Nutcracker, Donald Duck, Goofy, Bugs Bunny, Tasmanian Devil, Scooby-Doo, Snoopy, Elf from the movie mm-hmm. Elf with Will Ferrell.
Fun.
The Lego one is there. So those are like the novelty-ish ones. Homer mm-hmm. Simpson.
Amazing. Are there collections that get put away for Christmas to make way for the Nutcrackers?
No, I would say it's pretty a clean slate when I'm bringing everything out. Because mm-hmm. It sounds like I have a lot, and it is a lot. But it's done really well, and it's organized really well, mm-hmm. so there's a whole system. I don't necessarily take something down. I mean, little things, like some things that you have on a fireplace that you would move away and then put those on there.
Yeah.
And then garland everywhere.
Okay.
When I showed a picture of my family room to a coworker, and she goes, oh my God, it looks like Santa Baby, the bar in the city, you know, where they have like...
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I've never been there, but... I know what my family room looks like, and I could kind of think that would look similar.
You right. can imagine it as a bar, a theme bar.
Yeah. And there's, I have a metal one. It's actually, you could crack a nut with it, but he's like metal soldier. And then
yeah.
lastly, this is one I just remembered. One that looks like he was carved out of a tree branch. He's from Natural Wonders. Remember that place in the mall?
Ooh, yeah.
So yeah, he's kind of cool.
I love it. It's one of those things that, I guess once you're collecting it, it's like snow globes or like any sort of collection that once it's the thing you collect, suddenly you see that like people make them, like that they exist in all sorts of
right.
forms.
Right. So, you know, we have some nephews that started their collections
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, you know, I don't have kids. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my will is going to say open a store.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you need to open a store. Love you, bye.
Yeah.
So, but they started their collection. So that's kind of fun finding them, like, you know, different ones. He likes the soldiers with the swords.
Okay.
I do have quite a lot of those. But then they, you know, like, you have to imagine, like, my mom and my aunt and my uncle and, you know, friends would just buy me them when I was that young, you know. So they're just buying them for me. So now if I bought one today, I'm like, I would say, first off, I'd say, I don't need it.
Right.
But if I found one that was really awesome, I'd have to buy it.
Yeah.
But if I bought one today, I'd be looking for very particular things for myself and what I don't have in any of the other ones. And what I didn't bring up is I have Halloween ones. I have Valentine's Day. I have leprechauns. I have Easter ones. I have, my Halloween ones are cool. I have about six or seven of those.
I feel like a Halloween nutcracker would be very scary. It has the potential of being a very scary creature.
Halloween nutcrackers would not be, though.
No?
Because they have a Dracula one.
Okay.
A witch one. A devil one. Made by Department 56. A zombie little one.
Yeah.
A pumpkin guy. You know. So they're very, like, oddity looking. They're very, like, where did you get that? You don't see those.
So did they come out for those holidays, or are they with the civilians during Christmas?
So most of the other holiday ones were kind of like later in life. And then, so those stay, I keep with the holidays. Like, I'm not putting Easter ones out during Christmas, and I'm not putting leprechauns out, and I'm not putting the Valentine's Day one out. You know, I'm leaving those.
Okay. To their own calendar.
In their own box and tub. In my warehouse, which I call my basement. Yeah, Nick loves that.
Switching gears a little bit, because you wore your King of Christmas sweatshirt to the Mariah Carey concert.
Yes.
Do you have feelings about Christmas music?
I absolutely adore Christmas music.
Yeah.
I can listen to Christmas music all year round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could be a whole nother podcast, Christmas music.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christmas music. I absolutely love it. I could literally listen to it. Like, if I'm feeling blue, I can listen to it.
Yeah.
And slow ones, and fast ones, and old ones, and new ones. You know, like, there's some, you know, I love seeing, like, what artists are going to come out with new Christmas albums. I could tell you, like, if you told me an artist, I could tell you if they have a Christmas album. Come on, try me.
Dee Snider?
Oh my gosh, Dee Snider, yes, he does. It's called A Twisted Christmas. He also did the Broadway play.
Did you see it?
I did.
Yes, my friend Willem was the drummer in that cast.
That's awesome. It was good. I loved it.
Yeah, it was so good. I'm so sad it didn't become a standard.
I agree with you.
It was so good.
Because I had expectations of, like, I hate metal music. And I'm going to see it. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being very, like, a charming play.
Yeah.
So I was really taken back by how good it was, how cute it was.
So for people who haven't seen it, it's a metal band that wants to become famous. So they sell their soul to Satan, but they misspell Satan and they sell their soul to Santa instead.
Love
so it. They become famous with metal Christmas carols that they are, like, compelled to play. And it is hilarious and sweet, and I wish it played every year in Chicago.
I know. And I, if I'm not mistaken, Dee Snider was the, like, he was, like, the host.
Yeah.
Like, the narrator.
Yeah.
Like, he's reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was done really well, and I agree. And that, this was years ago, too.
Yeah.
Try me on another one.
Okay. What about Pink?
Pink, so one of her songs, Glitter in the Air, sometimes is done up as a holiday, like on a compilation CD.
Mm-hmm.
She was on a Christmas special where she sang, it had to be like, Have Yourself a Merry Christmas, with her daughter, actually.
Oh, that's
sweet. She only has one song, to my most knowledge.
Oh, what about Kelly Clarkson? She must have
a million. She's got a million, so she's got two albums.
Okay.
I would say her first Christmas album, Wrapped in Red.
Mm-hmm.
Probably my top 10 best Christmas albums so far.
Yeah.
She did come out with the second Christmas album, which was good because it felt like a continuation of it. But for years, she has, you know, she's been on the American Idol Christmas CD.
Mm-hmm.
She released several, like, EPs throughout the years in between albums. She also does that on her show sometimes it'll just randomly, it could be wintertime or summertime.
Yeah.
And it would just break into like a Christmas song.
Oh, wow.
And it starts to snow in her, you know, studio. And
yeah. What about Shania Twain?
She has several songs. So she doesn't have an album,
mm-hmm.
but she does have songs with like Michael Bublé and several other people. I think she did a Baby It's Cold Outside with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Harry Connick Jr. has to have a gajillion, right? Yeah.
And his actually, so his album, first album, because I think he's had three Christmas albums. So I would say late 90s, like maybe 96, mm-hmm. He had a Christmas album, top 10 best Christmas albums ever.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was his song, When My Heart Finds Christmas.
Mm.
We can have a whole podcast on this.
This is amazing. Are there one Christmas hit wonders?
Yeah.
Are there people that are not known for Christmas, but they have one great song that you really like?
Yeah. I mean, Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins.
It has a Christmas song?
Amazing. Huh. Amazing. And he actually teased that he wrote a Christmas album during COVID.
Okay.
And one day he'll release it. One day he will release it, but now's not the time. So he's claimed he wrote one, but he's got one which was featured on a very special Christmas album. The proceeds went to Special Olympics,
mm-hmm.
and he was on the third volume, which was the gold one. There was the red one, the green one, the gold one. There's a pink one, and he was the gold one. So on it, but I'm a big One Republic fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a songwriter. I really wish he would just make an album already, but he has a charming song that had come out years back. He had one come out this year called Dear Santa. They use it on like the Toyota commercial.
Okay.
But it's like he's kind of like got one song here and there.
Yeah. Okay. I have two questions. Do you have a favorite Christmas song that you'll be like, I want to listen to all of the covers and iterations of this song? Is there a top song for you? Or does it have to be the song and artist, the right mix?
Oh, that's deep. So I would say it could be like an artist and song mixed. Like the artist could really make the song.
Mm-hmm.
I would say my favorite song is the Eurythmics, Winter Wonderland.
Huh. Okay.
Very special Christmas volume one, 1987.
All right. Amazing.
But that I would say, because that is the way Annie Lennox does that is just like, that to me is Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have all the bells. It's just like, all of her other music, just it's done really, really well. And she actually came, Annie Lennox, not with the Eurythmics, but Annie Lennox by herself came out with a Christmas album called Christmas Cornucopia. And it was very like pagan. It was very like, you know, God rest ye merry gentlemen, and like very like that kind of like real old carol music, mm-hmm. you know, Coventry Carol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I was just playing for one of my friends the other night. It's Adara Williams, The Christians and the Pagans.
Okay.
Do you know that song?
I don't.
It's a family where like part of the family are pagans and there's a snowstorm. And so they get kind of stuck in town together. And it's the Christians and the Pagans sat together at the table, finding peace and common ground the best that they were able. It's a really beautiful song about a family coming together, even though their like religious beliefs have diverged.
I have never heard of that.
Haha, I stumped you. No.
You're right. I don't know who that is.
She's in the world of like Tori Amos and Ani DiFranco.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tori Amos has a Christmas album.
She does?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Huh. Do you ever watch the, do you ever, you know, Enya?
Yeah. Yes. I'm okay. 46. Of course I do.
sail away. So she has a Christmas album.
Huh. I wow.
Know. And see what you don't know. This is why you have this podcast. That's amazing.
Right. It is.
So she has a Christmas album. And it's, again, it was very like, you know, Enya-y, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying like Silent Night in Irish, Gaelic.
Yeah.
And I wanted that album mm-hmm. to have, you know, on the Grinch cartoon where all the Grinch people come down and they sing around the tree. And mm-hmm. it's like nonsensical words.
Yeah.
I wanted her to sing that. I'm like, I almost wrote Enya. Dear Enya, it's called Welcome Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Please sing this. Because in Enya's like...
ethereal, yes, moody.
Yes,
yeah,
it would be amazing. Do it, Enya.
Yeah. So when you're listening to Christmas music, are you, there's that one station in Chicago that flips to Christmas like November 1. Mm-hmm. Do you listen to that?
I do.
Do you listen to your CD collection?
I do.
Do you have a Spotify playlist?
I do.
Okay. Depends on the location.
So 93.9, The Light. Yes. Love it. I listen to that. When I'm home, we have probably thousands upon thousands of songs within our playlist for Christmas.
Yeah.
So I want to listen to all the songs by all the people.
Yeah.
And then I have to categorize them like Christmas dinner and Christmas party and then all the Christmas, like collect all.
Yeah.
And then I do listen to Sirius Radio has holiday traditions, Holly, Jolly, like all the different stations. So I do. Yeah. I do like those too.
How do you feel about the silly songs like Dominic the Christmas Donkey or I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas?
I love. Yeah. Love. All of them. All the songs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those are two that I didn't know about until I was working retail and we were listening to that station, which really, like, our Christmas music growing up was, my sister has a Pandora station of jazzy Christmas, like, mostly instrumentals, a little bit of vocals, because those are the albums our grandparents played at Christmas. So that's kind of, that's our soundtrack, our jazzy 1940s, 1950s, 60s at the latest Christmas music.
Love it.
So when I was working, I was managing an ice cream parlor and we flipped to Christmas music. There was just so much I hadn't been exposed to. So like I didn't hear Dominic the Christmas Donkey until I was in my 20s.
And
I love it. Such a good song.
That's from the 60s. Okay. I'm going to tell you a little secret.
Yes.
So loving Christmas so much, I had made videos for years and they were little movies.
Yeah.
And it was a very Chucky Christmas.
Adorable.
And I had made those all throughout the years for all my friends.
Yeah.
And there was a volume 1, volume 2, volume 3, volume 4, volume 5. Well, those movies, you know, and this was in the 90s, and those movies Nick helped with.
Mm-hmm.
And those movies really took a lot of time to make because I'm making them during the holidays.
Right.
And I needed to get them done by a date. And my date that I always would have it done by was winter solstice.
Okay.
So it was always December 21st. So that had to be the due date. It was ready. That's when I would have my family view it, my friends view them.
Yeah.
So like through those years, I do have a point. But through those years, I had stopped making them because they were just too hard. Well, then Nick and I came up with this fantastic idea where we're going to do one song. Mm-hmm. It's going to be called A Very Chucky Christmas Short.
Okay.
And it's one song, usually obscure song. And then I had put those out every couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Dominic the Christmas Donkey. And guess who plays the donkey? Nick.
Stop it.
He's going to show you. He'll show you. You'll fall in love.
Oh my God.
I have friends that write me on, you know, social media and be like, when are you going to release that?
Yeah.
When are you going to put it on your page?
Yes, please.
Yes.
That is so fun.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There's a Christmas song, and I don't really know this singer. She's probably like one of those new moody singers, you know, this girl, you know, like a Billie Eilish, but her name is Sabrina Carpenter. And she has got a song, Let's Make the Whole Year Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a line in it that says, why does it just have to be one when we can have 364 more? And that is like the best explanation of me. I talk about Christmas in July, especially July, Christmas in July.
That's a thing.
I put Christmas towels up in my bathroom in July.
I love it.
But that totally is me. Like I'll talk about, I'll count down, like there's like what, less than 2 weeks left till Christmas. And I will count down day after Christmas in the middle of the year, you know, 130 more days to go, you know, like 54 days to go.
Yeah.
It's
great.
Yeah. And then you were talking about, you know, you're in Judaism, right?
Yep.
So I had said at the beginning of the podcast that I want to create these holiday moments for people to see and like enjoy and anticipate. And I have Middle Eastern friends, Muslim friends, and they love Christmas music.
Yeah.
You know, and coworkers, when they put up the tree at work, you know, they're like, I love it, you know?
Yeah.
And when he comes over, he's like enamored, like, I want to just walk around your house.
Yeah.
And it's a feeling, you know? I don't know who said it, but it's like Christmas is like, it's, you know, more than a, you know, it's a feeling, you know, it's like a,
yeah.
It's like a mindset, you know?
Yeah. It's warm. It's cozy. It's joyful.
Right. You know, and you can,
yeah.
You know, you don't have to have a tree up, but you know, all the places around you have, you know, like Chicago Bank has one and, you know, and this place has one. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you say, when you go to the store, it plays Christmas music and, you know, yeah. Why can't every holiday be like Christmas? But, you know.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be the gifts. I mean, it's all like, it's about, you know, the charm of like your stuff that you bring out and, you know, mm-hmm. just the 10,000 nutcrackers that you got to put up and
right.
dust off and box before you put them away in their little coffins.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. I do feel like you could just win a quiz show about like, what's their Christmas song?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alex Trebek.
I forget who just came and went through. Oh, did Sinead O'Connor ever do a Christmas song?
She did.
Yeah.
Silent Night.
Oh.
And again, a very special Christmas volume one.
Oh, really got heavy hitters, huh?
Actually, she might have been volume two. She might have been green. She might have been the green.
Okay.
One. She might have been volume two. Yeah. I think the first album was Stevie Nicks, Silent okay. Night. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Sinead O'Connor had the one song, not an album. And then you don't even know, like, this year, well, some of your viewers might, but Cher came out with an album this year.
Mm-hmm.
Alanis Morissette came out with an EP. What? It was called Last Christmas. Wow. And she sings, you know, George Michael's,
mm-hmm.
you know, song Last Christmas. And it's done kind yeah. of like very Alanis.
Yeah.
You know how she does that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, she has one.
The Kelsey Brothers released their Fairy Tale in New York cover.
I don't know that. What is that?
Travis Kelsey is Taylor Swift's boyfriend. He's a football player.
Okay.
For the Chiefs, and his brother plays for yes. the Eagles.
Okay, I know now.
Yeah.
All you had to say was Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
Yeah. And it's, I guess the Eagles released an album of Christmas songs or something. Like the football team.
I don't know that.
But in the course of it, Travis and his brother Jason did a duet of Fairy Tale in New York.
Okay.
And it came out like a week and a half before the guy from the Pogues died. It's very weird.
Okay.
Timing.
I'd have to listen to it.
Yeah. Fairy Tale of New York is one of my favorite Christmas songs. It's such a good car song.
Yes. And there's quite a few people that I that is one that I don't listen to, but I know of it. And I do have a lot of artists that do sing it on
mm-hmm.
my collection of Christmas music.
Yeah. It's a downer.
It is.
It's a bummer of a song.
But
it's beautiful.
Now, when you walk away from this, I mean, I'm telling you, listen to Very Special Christmas Volume 1.
Okay.
I mean, it has that Eurythmics song on it. I mean, that is definitely a top five. But, you know, Sarah McLachlan's Christmas album is, her first one is amazing.
Yeah.
Jars of Clay did one. Yeah. Amazing.
That makes sense. They're a Christian band, right?
Yeah. Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that album. There's just so many. Carpenters.
Yeah.
You know, I love that album.
Yeah.
Barbara Streisand.
Of course.
I mean, she was Jewish. She made a Christmas album.
Yep. Yeah.
Loved it.
Well, the Jews have we wrote a lot of the standards.
There you go.
Jewish composers and songwriters wrote a lot of the carols and standard songs out there.
Yes.
So I won't hold you to the rankings, but you've said, oh, that's a top 10. That's a top 10.
As I gave you like 25.
Right. What are your, in this moment in time, I won't hold it to you for the whole Christmas season or all Christmases forever, but today.
Okay.
What are your top five Christmas songs tonight?
Albums or songs?
Songs and artists.
Hard. I mean, Eurythmics.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Sinatra, Christmas Waltz.
Yeah.
Ingrid Michaelson has a Christmas album.
Oh, she's been on and off Broadway.
Yes.
Yeah.
And her Christmas album is from front to back amazing.
I bet.
So yeah. Any song really she sings on there. I do dig Mariah Carey's song, even though people are against it, but that's what the holiday is.
Yeah. There's no reason to be against that song. It's perfect.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
And I would have to say Sarah McLachlan has on her album, again, she has a lot of them on there. I can't pick one, but like, I can't mm-hmm. wait to like, get those albums out.
Yeah.
Are the ones I'm naming to you. Sia's Christmas album is amazing.
What? Really? The girl with like the bangs that go to her nose?
Yes. Yes.
She has a Christmas album?
And can I tell you something? She does not sing one classic Christmas song on it. She wrote them all.
Really?
And they feel like they've been around for freaking 80 years.
Huh.
I'm telling you, you have to listen to it.
Yeah.
You'd have to listen to it.
Do you know that she's also a huge fan of Survivor and she personally gives like prizes to people that don't win Survivor?
Does she really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Because she writes all these songs for all these people. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Britney Spears, she's written for, you know, there's people that she's, Christina Aguilera, I think. She's written for a lot of like famous people. And when you listen to them after you know that Sia wrote it, you would be like, oh my God, it's a Sia song. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be like, that's totally Sia.
Huh.
But yeah. So those are the ones, this moment in time that I couldn't wait to get out. Like the Sia, the Ingrid Michaelson, the Sarah McLachlan, the old Frank Sinatra one.
Mm-hmm.
I would say like the theme music for the house, like when I'm home, is Doris Day.
Okay.
I go, Siri, play Doris Day Christmas. And it's amazing. All Doris Day.
Nice. Is there anything about Christmas that I haven't asked you about that you would be sad not to include in this podcast episode?
I mean, I talked about more than I really wanted to. I just, from the food to the music to the, I mean, I take away things. You talked about, do I take anything out of the family room to put all the nutcrackers up? I do have Christmas dishes. So I put the old dishes away and I have Christmas dishes, like the everyday dishes. And then there's the dining room dishes. And then I have the Christmas serveware and all the tablecloths and all the pillows in the living room go to plaid. Every different kind of, you know, buffalo check and tartan and like all the different plaids. And the rug comes out of the room and I have a plaid carpet that goes in. And
amazing.
I have in our living room with the 12-foot tree. All the toboggans go up in the room.
Yeah.
Different sleds, you know, and so that becomes kind of like a ski resort feel.
Cool.
There's a lot. You need a ticket so you can view it. They're going fast.
I gotta talk to Nick.
They're going fast.
I gotta talk to Nick. Yeah. Awesome. Chuck, is there anything you want to promote? Do you want people to find you on social media?
I mean, there is so we talked about Christmas music. We do have a Facebook page for November 1st, the official first day of Christmas music. And that is our page. So, I mean, that's
amazing.
Join it. We don't put it in your, you know, air all year Christmas music, but come November 1st, I mean, it plays a series of little videos with songs, you know, all the famous ones that you want to hear. And then throughout the year, we'll like update, you know, some, like if we hear that someone is making a Christmas album in the middle of July, we'll post it on there. And
nice. Well, Chuck, this has been as fun as I hoped it would be.
Thank you. It was. I didn't know where it would go. I mean, Christmas is just so much.
It's so much. But the timing is perfect. Like, it'll be out, like I said, about a week before Christmas, so people can listen to it and get their tree time in and add some songs to their playlist before the big day.
Right.
Awesome. Well, Chuck, thank you so much for joining me.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.